Hillary tells me, sadly, that the simultaneous translation into American English is not available this morning, and you'll just have to suffer along as best you can.
John, since I'm shorter than you, you might want to raise the mic up a little. Yeah, there you go.
Better?
Yes.
Can you hear me at the back? Pity. Well, these resurrection appearances of Jesus in the Gospels, they make everybody ask questions. And we mostly ask the wrong questions, shaped by our times and our society. As T.S. Eliot put it, "For last year's words belong to last year's language, and next year's words await another voice." And last year's words shape last year's questions, the ones we're still asking. Can't we do better? Well, my Oxford tutor thought we all could do better. And here's the question he thought we should be asking ourselves when we're puzzled. What must the truth have been for men who thought and felt as the evangelists did to have written what they wrote in the Gospels? There's no doubt that the past is another country. They do things differently there. And as we just heard, after his resurrection, Jesus stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. But that was then. Young adults and children today in this congregation and elsewhere would not have thought or felt that Jesus was a ghost. Of course he's not a ghost. Ghosts are immaterial. You can put your hand right through them, and they can fly right through you. Jesus was not a ghost. He was a zombie. Because American culture is saturated with zombie books and films, The Night of the Living Dead, zombie apocalypse. So, not ghosts, but zombies. Ghosts, that's Casper, the friendly ghost, terrifying nobody ever. Teenagers and children sitting round the campfire eating s'mores don't tell ghost stories to frighten themselves, not anymore. So today's gospel doesn't answer the question, not a ghost, not a zombie, what was the resurrected Jesus? That question is never answered because it's mere speculation. And that, of course, shows that it's the wrong question. And if it's what you're asking, stop it at once. What must the truth have been for men who thought and felt as they did to have written what we read in the Gospels? I've never seen a ghost, and I wonder if you have. I still don't think ghosts exist, or even what it means to experience a ghost, even though I was brought up in a house, our family home, which was famously haunted by the lady in grey. My mother and her sisters said they'd often seen the lady in grey wafting about, but I never did. So what are we missing that the apostles thought and felt, as we just heard, when they first encountered the risen Christ? A ghost, they thought, and they felt terror. But we who were brought up on Casper the Friendly Ghost, there is no raw supernatural terror there. Let me see if I can help you. Richard Glover, priest of the Church of England, was vicar of a small parish up in the very far northwest of England. His vicarage was built just beside the ruins of a medieval chapel. And in that chapel, a priest was slain at the altar back in the Middle Ages. None of our children ever wanted to play in the rooms at the end of the corridor closest to the chapel. They said it made them feel uncomfortable to be there, that it felt cold and grey. So one sunny afternoon when we were visiting and having tea in the vicarage garden, how very English that sounds, Richard went indoors and he took a chair and he put it down in the corridor facing the end nearest to the chapel, and he sat down to wait. In a minute or two, Richard ran out of the house. His face was absolutely contorted with terror. He couldn't speak. His face was deathly white. And his eyes were staring. But he wasn't looking at us. They were wide open and staring. And he was shaking. And we all thought he was having a heart attack. So we phoned for an ambulance, which came in half an hour or so. But it was horror. And not a heart attack. What did Richard see? What was it that reduced him to a gibbering wreck? Well, he said he'd seen a ghost, but he wouldn't say any more about it. He could never talk about it. He still doesn't. Makes you think. I don't believe in ghosts, but when I remember Richard Glover on that day, I'm not so sure. The disciples thought they were seeing a ghost, and they were startled and terrified. And even after Jesus had spoken and shown them his wounded hands and feet, they were still disbelieving and wondering. But not us. We know what happens next. We know Jesus was raised from the dead. We know he ate fish with the disciples. We know that within a few days, the disciples were proclaiming that they had seen Jesus, that God had raised him from the dead. No ghost. And within a couple of centuries, the world was changed, and the belief in Jesus' resurrection had become the central belief in the most important religion in the world. Something happened that first day. Something I think you and I have never experienced. But it happened to the apostles, as we read in the gospel, gathered in fear behind closed doors. What happened at first terrified them. Picture Richard Glover. I can never forget his face. Fear of the unknown? Fear of the supernatural? What was Jesus? Not a ghost, but what were they seeing? Well, that's the question to which we want answers, and none are given. Jesus didn't explain the physical resurrection to the disciples, and frankly, every attempt to do so ever afterwards misses the point. Look at the gospel. Jesus saw that the faith of his disciples needed to be strengthened with understanding. Faith seeking understanding is still central to our Christian faith. Thus it is written, says the Lord, that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. But as what? What? What does that mean? Well, answer came there none. Because that's not what the gospel that changed the world is about. Then the Lord gives the answer we need to the gospel question. Why has Christianity thrived down the centuries? What must the truth have been for men who thought and felt as they did to have written what they wrote in the Gospels that changed the world? And Jesus told them, as he tells us. He told them what they needed to know. It's what we need to know and understand and proclaim, that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in the name of the Messiah, beginning from Jerusalem. No facts about physics or physiology. We can all get on quite well without any idea at all about that. And actually, any explanation they gave then in the light of modern science would be superseded. It would probably be just plain wrong. Christianity didn't become the world faith by explaining that Jesus was not a ghost or even a zombie. The gospel is positive. The gospel is positive, not negative. The gospel is not about what Jesus was not. And the gospel proclamation is timelessly positive. It touched and converted the souls of people then and us. People who thought and felt as they did, and we have come to think and feel as we should now. It still touches and converts and brings people joyfully to Christ. Repentance and forgiveness of sins. God's love and grace where we need it. Not explanation, transformation. Not, was Jesus a ghost or a zombie? But, what does it mean for me to be a living human being serving and delighting God? How can I really become profoundly alive? Because these are always this year's questions. Well, the answer has always been to become more Christ-like. And in just a few moments, we will bring our empty hands to receive the body and blood of Christ. When we are given the sacrament, we respond to the words, the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, not by asking, what's that? We simply say, Amen. And by faith, Christ once more transforms us into the truly living persons Christ wants us to be. Thanks be to God. Alleluia.